بأحدكم. Fulfill your promise, I'll fulfill mine. So we ask Allah, what is the promise that we have to fulfill in order for you to fulfill your promise?
Yeah.
He says, أَلَمْ أَعْهَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمَ أَنْ لَا تَعْبُدُوا الشَّيْطَانَ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ.
Yeah.
Have I not taken a covenant from you that you worship me, only me, and you submitted?
Yeah, nice chain.
Okay, so if I commit sins and I pick and choose religion as I desire, I have broken my covenant with God. God says, you broke your deal, or break mine.
Yeah,
that's your answer.
End of the story. Problem solved.
I mean, I don't know if asking
so
for...
So what do you say if we go for a break and then we'd come back to you?
Sure.
This is Back to Reality. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. I am Asma, and I have the pleasure to sit here with Brother Mustafa and Brother Abdullah. Well, Brother Mustafa, you were saying something.
I'm just saying there might be situations where someone might say, hey, look, I am fulfilling my promises to God.
As much as I can, at
least. Still, God isn't necessarily fulfilling my oaths or du'as, right? And if this person starts saying, oh, God isn't fulfilling his promise because I'm not living up to my part of it, that could be one aspect of it. The other, God says, hey, sometimes I might not give you what you want because it's not good for you. He also says that in the Quran, right?
Yeah, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rahman or Rahim at the end of the day. Yeah. So Rahman to everybody.
I was just saying that just because...
Now you raise a good point.
I was just saying life is like that.
Yeah,
we don't always get what we want, and that's what God wants us to experience.
Yeah.
That's part
so
of
you
the
raise
test.
A good point. So when we say Allah, Bismillah, ar-Rahman, ar-Rahim, that He's Rahman to every human being, to every creature, Rahim and bil mu'mineen, He's specifically Rahim with the mu'mineen. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the end of the day, He will fulfill all my requirements and your requirements out of His mercy, out of His rahmah. So not out of me, out of my ibadah, right? So He's giving us whatever we have. I have health, wealth, I have family, I have this, I have that, I have work. Whatever I have is out of Allah's rahmah, not out of my istihqaq, out of my own, me just...
Deserving
it, you know what I mean? But sometimes I seek something extra more than what I have. This is when the wishing comes in, right? I need something extra. I need cash, for example. I have enough to survive. I need more. So Allah says, sure, if you want more to give, if you want us to give you more, then it has to have, you have to have a backbone. You need something that I can give you based on. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So far, you're good, you're bad, you're good, you're bad, and I'm making you happy. I'm pushing your life. I'm taking care of your affairs. Even though sometimes you do ma'asiyah to me, sins, but I'm still taking care of you, right?
Right.
Now, if you wish for more, then you need to go the extra mile.
See, trust me, it's not always about asking more of money or things like materialistically as the things just you say. Exactly, the peace of mind. I know many people who are just good people in heart and in reality, and then a lot of problems happen into their lives.
And also,
so, like, it's just a catastrophe.
Yeah,
you know? It's a cauldron of catastrophes.
True. Let me. This a hadith. This is a beautiful hadith. He says, "Inna min ibadi."
You can just tell us.
I will next time.
So let me give you this hadith. Maybe that shed a light on what you're saying. There's a hadith that says, "Inna min ibadi man la yaslahu illa al-faqr." There are amongst my servants that nothing can fix him except poverty and hardship.
Does it fix them? They would get to the blink.
There's people that will not be fixed unless you give them whatever they want. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the end of the day, He looks at individuals differently and He looks at their life. And Allah does not take only into consideration their worldly affairs, but He takes into consideration their eternal life as well. So sometimes the hardship you're going through, what you see as hardship, in Allah's perspective, is something else. There's a hadith that says on Day of Judgment, the faqir, the poor person, will come to Allah and Allah would give him so much. And he looks up like, this is all for me. And Allah says, yeah. He's like, but I've never done anything. Allah says, yeah, because you were poor. And then he's like, oh Allah, I wish I could go back and become even more poor. And Allah says, no. Any more than you would deviate. This is just enough for you. So sometimes our scope is very limited in life. So we define pain as pain, but sometimes pain is not pain. Pain is a pleasure if you look at it in the correct manner.
Yeah, well, you know? But, you know, to interpret God's providence, it's the most difficult thing in this world.
Yeah,
because sometimes you just do not understand what's the philosophy behind it, what's the moral of the story I'm going through.
Yes, yeah, so taslim. That's why, see, we the further we are from religion, the further things will make sense, or yeah. The less they will
The important
make sense.
Part is submission. Yeah, so, right now... So,
what, do you think submission is easy?
No,
I'll try to maybe address the question in a very different maybe manner. Mm-hmm. Being a student of psychology, I think that a part of that comes in taking things very practically. Mm. In psychology, you try to, you know, impact people's behavior on a practical level, right? So when you're talking about people's lives are very tragic and they're going through, you know, many bad things that are happening to them, one thing that I've realized is that we need a lot of knowledge and expertise in our lives. A lot of the problems that we have, the tragedies that we're facing, is because we either lack expertise or knowledge.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
For example, let's say that a divorce occurred in a family, right? Now, if you go and look at the root cause, for example, of this divorce, what you'll find is that the husband and wife, they were wishing to be better, right? That's what we're talking about, wishing. But they weren't doing anything to become practically better. They didn't seek any elder help. They didn't seek, for example, counseling. They didn't.
But sometimes they do, and it doesn't
Sometimes
work.
They do. It doesn't always work out, right?
Yeah.
I'm saying, but a lot of problems stem from not seeking help. A lot of the people that do seek help, they do find solutions, and they do get better as well. Not everyone that goes and finds help fails, right?
So I get it. When you wish, you must be man enough to shoulder the burden of trying for it.
I'm saying there needs to be practical action behind everything. That's
yeah.
what Islam says. It's amal, right? Your mm-hmm. amal is everything. Your actions are everything. And whatever tragedy you're facing, it has to be faced with certain kind of practice behind it.
Yeah.
And that requires knowledge and
patience,
expertise and
of
help.
Of course.
What we're saying, you need to seek help.
Yeah.
Right? As psychologists, we're saying you go and seek the right help. If you're, for example, having problems with your children, go and talk to someone who's mm-hmm. who's a parenting expert.
Yeah, let's go for a short break, and then we'll be back for the rest of our discussion. So stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
Welcome back. Well, this is the last part, the finalement of today's episode. Well, we were talking about the wishing. Well, even in our prayings, we have different reasons for not getting what we want to get, for the things that we wish. Shall you please explain on that, Brother Abdullah?
Okay, so we have a hadith from Imam Sadiq Salamullah Alayhi where the same question was given to him. We said to him, why do we pray to Allah? We worship Allah. We ask Allah for things and it never happens. So the Imam explains it in a different ways. He said, so I'm trying to summarize what the Imam said rather than what he said exactly so it wouldn't be fabricating on the behalf of the Imam. So he said, either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give you what you require because he thinks that this will be bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's one category. Two, he said, Allah does not give you what you require, but in return. So you ask Allah for something, but he never gives it to you. He said, but Allah diverts something bad away from you. Okay?
Yeah.
So for example, you ask for money. Allah does not give you money, but in return, he has pushed, for example, your lifespan was increased. So he will give you something.
Or a kind of sickness is going
to get
away from your life.
Exactly. So he would prevent something bad in return. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you ask him for something. He doesn't give it to you. But he gives you something else that you lack the most. Okay?
Yeah, because he knows me better.
Which you don't realize. Mm-hmm. In a way of your life and your family, something that you need, he would give it to you as a compensation because he thinks that this, what you want, is not good for you.
So just as the verse says it, عَسَى أَن تُحَبُّ شَيْئًا
وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ أَوْ عَسَى أَن تُحَبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. And then the Imam, he said lastly, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give you anything, then it definitely will be compensated in the hereafter.
Yeah.
So either way, you're not losing. So then this
But we're not patient enough.
No, just we're not patient enough. Because in our nature, we are very materialistic, tangible creatures. We want to touch things. I mean, why don't we have such a strong belief in the akhirah? theologically, mm-hmm. we believe in it.
Because we see it so far away.
Practically, we don't believe in it. Why? Because the reward is not tangible.
Mm-hmm.
You say to me, look, you steal, but you get something in your hand. That is more tangible than telling me, don't steal and God will give you a castle in heaven.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, brother, you know, there's another thing, which is comparison. Maybe I could just cope up with the fact that I don't get my wishes because it's not good for me. But when I see other people, they are not much of good creatures. They might be some evil people, but still they get everything they want. And everything in their life is just going smoothly.
Go ahead, wish, you know, but follow it up with action. And also, if you don't get what you want, at the end of the day, you become stronger many times. You'll see in life that, for example, if you had sickness and then when you got better, you got stronger, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of those things which we wish for and they don't happen, they make us better and stronger if we use those as lessons.
Thank you, both of you, and thank you, dear listeners. Well, this was all the time that we had for today's episode. I hope you just enjoyed it. Until another session, I leave you to a last never slipping, guys. So, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the ummah rise again. Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
In the limelight.
Scientists have raised alarm over unprecedented global ocean heat. They say the global average ocean surface temperature is expected to rise even further in the coming month as El Nino strengthens. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Common Dreams wrote, climate scientists have recently said the rapidly rising temperature of the planet's oceans is cause for major concern, particularly as policymakers in the top fossil fuel emissions producing countries show no sign of ending planet-heating oil and gas extraction. The European Union's climate agency, Copernicus Climate Change Service, reported recently that the average daily global ocean surface temperature across the planet reached 20.96 degrees Celsius, breaking the record of 20.95 degrees Celsius that was previously set in 2016. The record set in 2016 was reported during an El Nino event, a naturally occurring phenomenon which causes warm water to rise to the surface off the western coast of South America. The weather pattern was at its strongest when the high ocean temperature was recorded that year. El Nino is forming this year as well, but has not yet reached its strongest point, suggesting new records for ocean heat will be set in the coming months and potentially wreak havoc in the world's marine ecosystems. Samantha Burgess, deputy director of Copernicus, told the media that March is typically when the oceans are at their hottest. She told the outlets, "The fact that we have seen the record now makes me nervous about how much warmer the ocean may get between now and next March. The warming oceans are part of a feedback loop that's developed as fossil fuel emissions have increasingly trapped heat in the atmosphere. Rising levels of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere are warming the oceans, leaving them less able to absorb the emissions and contributing to intensifying weather patterns. Warmer sea surface temperatures lead to a warmer atmosphere and more evaporation, and both of these lead to more moisture in the atmosphere, which can also lead to more intense rainfall events, Burgess said, adding, and warmer sea surface temperatures may also lead to more energy being available for hurricanes. The warming ocean could have cascading effects on the world's ecosystems and economies, reducing fish stocks as marine species migrate to find cooler waters. We are seeing changes already in terms of species distributions. Prevalence of harmful algae blooms popping up, maybe where we would not necessarily expect them. And the species shifting from warmer southern locations up into the colder regions as well, which is quite worrying. Helen Findlay, a biological oceanographer at the Plymouth Marine Lab in the UK, told the Evening Standard. She added, "We are also seeing more species coming up from the south. Things like European anchovy or recently examples of Mediterranean octopus coming up into our waters. And that is having a knock-on impact for the fish that we catch and consequences of economics." Certain parts of the world's oceans provoked particular alarm among scientists in recent days, with water off the coast of Florida hitting 38.44 degrees Celsius, over 101 degrees Fahrenheit last week. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration told the British media that ocean temperatures in that area typically hover between 23 degrees Celsius and 31 degrees Celsius at this time of the year. Since scientists first began measuring ocean temperatures using satellites and research buoys about four decades ago, the global average sea surface temperatures has gone up by roughly 6/10 degrees Celsius. On social media, climate scientists urged news outlets to explicitly connect the rising ocean temperatures to fossil fuel companies and the policymakers who are enabling them to continue fueling the climate emergency, such as British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, who announced more than 100 new oil and gas licenses in North Sea this week. New York Times also reported terrifying earth breakdown, but barely mentioned the cause is the fossil fuel industry, said National Aeronautics and Space Administration climate scientist Peter Kalmus. The more we burn fossil fuels, the more excess heat will be taken out by the oceans, which means the longer it will take to stabilize them and get them back to where they were.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
The wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
More than 3,000 United States military personnel have arrived in the Red Sea aboard two warships after Washington said it would boost its military footprint in the region amid rising tensions with Iran. The sailors arrived while traveling on the USS Bataan, an amphibious assault ship that can carry more than 20 aircraft, and on the USS Carter Hall landing ship. Both ships entered the Red Sea after crossing the Mediterranean Sea and passing through the Suez Canal. The reinforcements will secure existing air and naval assets of the 5th Fleet, which is based in Bahrain and operates in the Persian Gulf, the Red Sea, the Gulf of Oman, and the Indian Ocean, including critical strategic choke points in the Strait of Hormuz and Suez Canal. The move follows an announcement last week by U.S. military officials to deploy a security guard composed of Marines on board commercial tankers passing through and near the Strait of Hormuz to form an additional layer of defense for these ships. The U.S. Navy accused Iran of attacking, seizing, or attempting to seize nearly 20 internationally flagged merchant vessels in the region over the past 2 years. However, an informed Iranian defense source has told Iranian media that Tehran has made no efforts to seize oil tankers in the Persian Gulf, denying an earlier U.S. claim accusing Tehran of trying to take control of two ships. Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps Navy has over the past years foiled several attacks on both Iranian and foreign tankers in the strategic Persian Gulf region and other high seas. The IRGC's Navy confiscated more than 50 million liters of smuggled fuel, mainly diesel, in various missions last year. That's while the U.S. Navy has seized Iranian ships carrying oil in transit to China in recent months, in an effort to enforce U.S. sanctions on Iran that seek to harm the Islamic Republic's economy. In a Monday press conference, Iran's foreign ministry spokesman, Nasser Kanani, said U.S. deployments are only serving Washington's interests.
The U.S. government's military presence in the region has never created security. Their interests in this region have always compelled them to feel instability and insecurity. We are deeply convinced that the countries of the Persian Gulf are capable of ensuring their own security.
Iran says it views U.S. military vessels lurking in the waters of the Persian Gulf as a threat to its security and a source of tension and instability in the region. The U.S. announced last month that it would deploy a destroyer, F-35 and F-16 warplanes to the West Asia. Last week, the U.S. military claimed it was considering putting armed personnel on commercial ships traveling through the Strait of Hormuz to stop Iran from harassing vessels. Tehran responded on Saturday by saying it was equipping its Revolutionary Guards Navy with drones and 1,000-kilometer range missiles. The IRGC also issued a warning to the United States, saying the Islamic Republic is powerful enough to respond in kind to any act of mischief by the U.S. in the region. Also, on 3rd of August, naval forces of the Iranian Islamic Revolution Guards Corps launched surprise military drills in the Persian Gulf islands of Abu Musa, Greater Tomb, and Lesser Tomb. The naval exercise was to display the IRGC Navy's might as well as combat and defense preparedness in protecting the Persian Gulf security and the Iranian islands. During the drills, various units of the IRGC were expected to exercise a range of military tactics. Iranian military experts and engineers have in recent years made remarkable breakthroughs in manufacturing a broad range of indigenous equipment, making the armed forces self-sufficient. Iranian officials have made clear that the country will not hesitate to strengthen its military capabilities, including its missile power, which are entirely meant for defense.
Two days of peace negotiations aimed at bringing an end to the conflict in Ukraine has ended without any major breakthrough in the Saudi city of Jeddah. The only achievement of the talks was what the participants said, agreeing on the importance of continuing consultations to pave the way for peace in Ukraine. European officials said those taking part plan to establish working groups to address specific problems raised by the war. More than 40 countries, including China, India, the United States, and the European countries, were taking part in negotiations, but Russia was not invited. In an address to participants, Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky said his country's delegation was pushing a 10-point peace formula which calls on the full withdrawal of Russian troops from Ukraine territory. The peace plan also calls for the restoration of Ukraine's borders and the territory of Crimea.
In total, 42 countries are represented there, different continents, different political approaches to global affairs, but all are united by the priority of international law, and that is why Ukraine proposed the peace formula, because the rules-based international order, which was violated by the Russian aggression, must be restored.
Head of Ukraine delegation Andriy Yermak hailed the negotiations, saying we had very productive consultations on the key principles on which a just and lasting peace should be built. Yermak said different viewpoints emerged during the talks in Saudi Arabia, calling them an extremely honest, open conversation. Russia, however, saw Saudi talks as West's effort to mobilize the global South to support President Zelensky's peace plan, saying such efforts are doomed to failure. Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Ryabkov says the West, with its usual sly and deceitful manner, is trying to induce some countries to support Zelensky's position. Moscow had earlier described the event as a farcical move intended to forge an anti-Russia coalition. The negotiations in Saudi Arabia comes as several countries attending the Jeddah event have been critical of Russia's absence in the talks. That includes Brazil, with head of its delegation, Celso Amorim, saying any real negotiation must include all parties, including Russia. Amorim said, if we really want peace, we have to involve Moscow in this process in some form. France questioned the length of negotiations in Jeddah, saying long-term efforts are needed to reach sustainable peace in Ukraine. This is while now 18 months into the Russia-Ukraine conflict, any prospect of direct peace talks between Kiev and Moscow appears remote. But apart from deep differences between Russia and Ukraine, which have kept the two warring sides away from reaching a solution to the conflict, what has made things even worse is the West's all-out military and financial support for Kiev. Despite Russia's repeated warnings that such military assistance would only prolong the war, Western countries left stone unturned to provide Kiev with military aid packages worth tens of billions of dollars. Not to mention that such an assistance not only has failed to prevent the conflict from getting exacerbated, but instead has led to even more escalation on both sides. But the supply of military aid to Ukraine has its own opponents in the West. In a recent protest in German capital Berlin, the demonstrators warned of more deaths in Ukraine as a result of Western military support for Kiev.
Delivery of weapons only means death in Ukraine. Thereby, this is only prolonging the war and suffering of the civilian population.
We have to prevent it in advance and not prevent it when it's already happening. It should have been prevented before the first shots came. It should have been prevented before the escalation was built up by interested parties. Now it's difficult. The hatred is very big on both sides.
The supply of weapons to Ukraine comes as the United States, the largest donor of military aid to Ukraine, has provided more than $46 billion since the war began in February 2022. Meanwhile, the European Union has so far provided nearly $30 billion in military assistance to Ukraine for the war with Russia. Putting all those Western aids into context, what seems to be terrifying is that the Russian-Ukraine war has the potentiality to turn into a global conflict. But in case of such a scenario, the catastrophic consequences of the conflict will be without a doubt hard to imagine. The crisis in Niger is deepening even further as defense chiefs of West Africa's regional bloc agree on a plan for a possible intervention in the West African nation after the military junta there failed to restore civilian rule following last month's coup. The Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS, has given the junta 1 week to reinstate President Mohamed Bazoum or face the potential use of force. In a statement after their meeting in Nigerian capital Abuja, ECOWAS said the bloc has taken all necessary measures for a military intervention in Niger.
All the elements that would go into any eventual intervention have been worked out here and being refined, including the timing, including the resources needed, and including how and where and when we are going to deploy such a force. We are determined to stop it.
The bloc said it is seeking democracy in the African country.
Military is not our option of choice. It is the last resort. We want diplomacy to work, and we want this message clearly transmitted to the leaders of the junta in Niger that we are giving them every opportunity to reverse what they have done and to return the country to constitutional order.
The decision to militarily intervene in Niger has been welcomed by France. In a statement, the French foreign ministry said it firmly and resolutely supported efforts by ECOWAS to reinstate former President Bazoum. The ministry added the future of Niger and the stability of the entire region are at stake. An ECOWAS delegation has also arrived in Niger's capital, Niamey, to hold talks with military officials in an effort to reverse the coup and restore the former president. In a separate reaction, Washington also said it supported ECOWAS leadership on Niger.
We strongly support the very strong leadership of ECOWAS on Niger. I don't want to get ahead of where things are, but what ECOWAS has done in terms of stating very clearly that there's an expectation for return to the constitutional order and a continuation of the democratic process.
The United States has also suspended some of its aid program to the government in the West African nation. The developments in Niger comes nearly 2 weeks after soldiers belonging to the country's presidential guard blocked access to President Bazoum's residence in Niamey and arrested him. Shortly after the storming of the president's residence, the army led by General Abdelrahman Tiani expressed support for the coup and said its priority was to avoid destabilizing the country. In an instant reaction, ECOWAS urged what it called constitutional order to be restored. The Union threatened sanctions if Nigeria's coup leaders failed to reinstate the ousted president. The sanctions by the ECOWAS were met with angry reactions from opponents of the pro-West former regime.
Closing borders for a country like Niger is not a good thing for a landlocked country, but we're trying to adapt. Like Mali, we're not going to die. I believe that Niger exists and will continue to exist, whatever the decision taken by ECOWAS. What I have to say to ECOWAS is that it must be for the people, not against them. So it's a system that we denounce.
But apart from all the sanctions, what has created concern among many people across Niger has been the idea of a military intervention there. It's stressed that Niger belongs to Nigerians and that they will support the military in face of any intervention.
As Nigerians, we said to ourselves that if the military decided to intervene in the situation, we would be with them all the same, and we're determined to go wherever they want, and we're not even in favor of negotiations. Niger belongs to the Nigerians, so in this sense, we ask only one thing. We ask only one thing. We're asking for the withdrawal of the French from the French military base, for them to go home, and we are with our soldiers today, because the military are the ones defending us.
The possible military intervention in Niger also drew reaction from Russia. Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov said it is unlikely that interventions by some non-regional forces can change the situation for the better. As for us, we are monitoring the situation very closely. Of course, we are concerned about the tensions that are now growing in the region. We remain in favor of Niger returning to its constitutional norms as soon as possible without any damage or threat to human life. Putting all the factors together in Niger's recent military coup and the subsequent reactions, what comes to the spotlight is the fact that Niger belongs to Nigerians, as many of them say. Given that people of Niger have been fed up with decades of French rule over their country, what seems to be of high significance for the external powers is that they must stop intervening, either politically or militarily, in Niger, and let the people of Niger decide their own future.
A new documentary produced by the Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement revealed that Palestinian resistance fighters managed to infiltrate Israel's Shin Bet, a spy agency Mossad. The documentary titled Spider's Web 2 details a complex espionage operation that was carried out against the Israeli organizations by Al-Quds Brigades, the armed wing of the Palestinian resistance movement of the Islamic Jihad, which is headquartered in the Tel Aviv-blockaded Palestinian territory of the Gaza Strip. The documentary illustrates the espionage enterprise, which involved six Palestinian fighters and was part of a wider operation launched by the Islamic Jihad in 2022 to retaliate against Israeli warfare in Gaza. The Israeli military launched close to 150 airstrikes against the coastal sliver during the war, prompting the resistance to respond by firing some 1,100 rockets toward the occupied territories. The Palestinian agents reportedly baited a number of Israeli officers into revealing secret methods and procedures. One of the Palestinian operatives, referred to as Recruit 106, duped a Shin Bet officer into believing that he was afraid of being arrested by the Palestinian resistance fighters, thus luring the Israeli officer into revealing a treasure trove of information on the regime's security system, methods, and tools. The Palestinian agents also managed to find out how Shin Bet agents had, in the past, tried to pose themselves as Palestinian Authority officers, Jordanian intelligence agents, and even a European Union representative on one occasion. According to the documentary, the Palestinian move led to the detention of several agents working for Israel and the dismantling of at least three Israeli spying centers. The successful conduct of the operation, according to the documentary, led to the Al-Quds Brigade's debunking the myth of might that surrounds the Israeli regime and its capabilities, with the Palestinian fighters identifying the regime as no more than an illusion made of dust. The term was famously used by Mahmoud Al-Arida, one of the six Palestinian prisoners who successfully escaped an Israeli maximum security prison in September 2021. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's cabinet, which took power in late December, has thrown Tel Aviv into unprecedented turmoil with its push to overhaul the regime's judicial system. Many of the former senior officials present at the December conference have become highly public dissidents, warning of the damage to Israel's security by the agenda and even supporting the refusal by thousands of military reservists to serve the regime. By every metric, the Israeli economy has suffered, while scientists, doctors, and tech entrepreneurs either prepare immigration plans or march in the streets alongside hundreds of thousands of their fellow citizens. The Israel Medical Association said nearly 500 doctors are expected to leave Israel, warning that the exodus can lead to a severe medical crisis. Israel is no longer as strong or as stable as it was mere months ago. Israeli opposition leader Benny Gantz recently warned of a worrying security situation across the occupied territories amid a months-long wave of anti-regime protests sparked by Netanyahu's far-right cabinet and its contentious policies. Last week, after Israeli parliament passed the first of the judicial overhaul bill, sparing mass protests, Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah described it as the worst day in the history of the Zionist entity. He said Israel has embarked on a path, God willing, of collapse, fragmentation, and doom.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم. Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. So here we are with Brother Ali Nasir, Hassan Nasrullah, and Hussein Rohullah. Assalamu alaikum, brothers, and welcome. And how are you, Hassan?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
That's good. Hussein?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Thank you so much. Welcome. I really welcome you all. So, brothers and sisters, our today's Quranic session, inshallah, will be about verse number 85 of Surah Ali Imran on page 61. So, everybody, once listen to the recitation of this ayah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَمَن يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَن يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ.
That was a nice recitation. Alhamdulillah. So, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. I will read it once. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. So this is an important ayah, and this is like a lot of important points are here in this ayah. Okay? Here I want to say that we'll explain it, okay, shortly, but we want you to refer to the Tafsir books, interpretations, inshallah, okay, for a complete and full explanation and details. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ Allah Almighty says that whoever, okay, after that the religion of Islam has been revealed, okay, which is the final revelation, which is the final or the most complete religion of all, okay, from Adam alayhi salam till Khatam alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, okay, so all the religions have been, the religions that have been sent to the people by Allah Almighty, okay, and the prophets who have been, who have had the missions, okay, to deliver the message of Allah, the religion to the people for the guidance, they all have been sent by Allah, heavenly, what? Religions. Yes?
Yes.
And also, Islam is also the religion, the heavenly religion. So, but it is the most complete one. It is the final revelation. In the previous verses, we learned that Allah Almighty asked the prophets, yeah, to testify, to confirm, okay, to confirm the prophet, okay. Who was that prophet?
Prophet Muhammad.
That they were all, okay, they were all supposed to, what? Confirm the prophet, okay, and also help him. In ayah 81, we had this. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ لَمَا آتَيْتُكُم مِّن كِتَابٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَكُمْ لَتُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهِ Right? وَلَتَنْصُرُنَّهُ قَالَ أَأَقْرَرْتُمْ Do you confirm it? Allah Almighty asked the prophets, all the prophets, okay? And they said what? وَأَخَذْتُمْ عَلَى ذَلِكُمْ مِصْرِ They said, قَالُوا أَقْرَرْنَا We confirm it, okay? So now Prophet of Islam is the last prophet, the final prophet, and the best of the prophets who has the most complete religion, the most updated, okay, the latest version, which is, there is not going to be any other version. This is the last and the most complete one, okay? So this is the heavenly religion. And if anybody who has... understood, who knows, okay, that Islam is the final revelation and I have to believe in Islam, and he does not believe in Islam. وَمَن يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا And the one who chooses any other religion other than Islam, okay, other religions other than Islam, it shall never be accepted from him in the Day of Judgment. Okay? وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ And he will be among the losers in the hereafter. So guys, the religion of Islam, which means submission to Allah Almighty, okay, which is means taslim to Allah Almighty. So all the religions, our fitrah, our nature, our like we say essence, okay, our reality talks about this, talks about tawheed, talks about the oneness of Allah Almighty, okay.
قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات المولى
IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Xavier International Schools presents
والكون الواسع في صدري أحضنه غرضا
Let's recite the Quran.
So I hope inshallah you go to the Tafsir book. More informations, more explanations are there, okay, available. So please inshallah learn more. Hassan, Hussein and Ali Nasir. Now inshallah we'll do the recitation as well. And the Tajweed rules we will mention. So brothers and sisters, we want them, yes? And our previous sessions are available, right? There, and they can listen to them. So, the very important Tajweed rules that we have to mention here, I want Hussein to recite once the ayah, then inshallah, step by step, we'll move on to the Tajweed rules we'll mention. So, Hussein, please, could you once recite this ayah?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين.
أحسنتم. Look, when you recite أعوذ بالله, we studied in Tajweed. That was a nice recitation. So now I'm going to mention some Tajweed points, okay? So whenever you have mad, natural mad, mad al-tabi'i, like the alif mad, waw mad, ya mad, a, e, u, at the end of the ayah, or where you want to stop, at a word that you stop, like a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, g is a ya mad, yes? There is a ya mad. So whenever you have a natural mad at the end of an ayah, or where you want to stop, yeah, at the word you stop, so Tajweed says there is a mad that you should stretch it. It's called maddul arid lissukun. You should stretch this mad. It's better, okay? It's not wajib, it's not necessary, but to make it more beautiful recitation, so stretch the sound a bit. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. It's more beautiful, yes? رجيم. It shows how calm you are, okay? How calm you are and how beautiful you recite it. And also, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. You can recite it, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. But if you stretch it, it makes it more beautiful. Yes, Hassan? Am I right?
Yes.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
So everyone, repeat after me. Let me recite أعوذ بالله.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
أحسنتم. ما شاء الله ما شاء الله. So ومن يبتغي ومن يبتغي. Hussein recited ومن يبتغي. So brothers ask us a question. How did you say ومن? Where is the noon? What did you do with the noon? Yeah.
Yes.
Ali Nasir, what do you say?
Because the noon is saken.
Uh huh.
We will merge it with the ya.
It's called idgham. Merging idgham or joining them, okay? Joining the sounds. So noon will be as if there is no noon. So there is a rule, idgham, which is applied with noon sakin. And also?
Mim.
Tanween. Tanween, right.
Yeah,
tanween and noon sakin. In Tajweed, brothers and sisters, we have four important rules, okay? For the noon sakin and tanween. Because they have the same rules, okay? For noon sakin and tanween. Tanween is basically a noon sakin. Yes.
Yeah.
So, we have the rule idgham, the rule idhar, the rule ikhfa, and the rule iqlab. What do we mean by them? We have explained them fully in details, okay, in the previous sessions and the tajweed rules, and now practical tajweed rules. Here we are. So, noon sakin. If the letter noon approaches. The noon sakin approaches one of these six letters. Hussein, what letters? For idgham.
Yarmalun.
Yarmalun letters. Ya, ra, mim, lam, waw, noon. Yarmalun. These six letters. If noon sakin reaches or approaches one of these six letters, okay, you have to skip the noon and join the previous letter to that letter, okay? So mim, now here, wa man yabtaghi. Noon is a skip. Mim is merged with the... Yeah. You merge the noon actually, yes?
Yes.
Because you merge it, it's omitted. So then you read mim with the ya. Wa may. Ya is doubled actually. Wa may. Wa may. There is no longer wa man. Wa may. And also, Hassan, you produce what? Ghunna sound. What is that called in English? Nay?
Nasal sound.
Nasal sound, yes. You produce a nasal sound and also you stretch it for how many counts?
Two counts.
Two counts or two beats. Wameyab. Wamey. Wamey. Right? Yabtaghi. There is the letter ba. How do you say that? It's sakin as well.
Yeah. Iqlab.
Iqlab.
We will bounce the sound.
Is that called iqlab or qalqala? Qalqala, right?
Yeah, sorry.
he means qalqala.
Qalqala.
So you bounce the sound. When the letter ba is sucking, you bounce the sound. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ Look, فَلَيْ فَلَنْ Again, yeah, فَلَيْ
Yes.
يُقَ قَاف is sucking. Again, bounce the sound here with قَاف as well. دِينًا in the previous word. دِينًا فَلَيْ دِينًا Noon, noon has a tanween, okay? After tanween, you have fa. The rule says you should hide the sound of the tanween, which is called, Hussein? Hiding is called?
Ikhfa.
فَلَنْ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ نُنْ سَاكِنْ هَا إِظْهَار is applied here. Basically, do nothing. Just read it. مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ So, the pronunciation of the letter خَا, رَا, yes? These are important, so pay attention. They are light, heavy letters. And also غَا, غَيْن, غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ So, I'll recite it once. We got 1 minute. I'll recite it. So, listen and repeat, okay? وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ
وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ
أحسنتم مِنْهُ نو مِنْهُ short vowel فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ أحسنتم صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنتم الله bless you إن شاء الله brothers and sisters dear listeners of IRB English Radio thank you so much for being with us up to this point إن شاء الله we'll be here with you again in the coming sessions tomorrow at the same time stay with IRB English Radio thanks so much brothers thank you so much Allah Almighty bless you no questions See you inshallah. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad
wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
صفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.